to CYC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 66. I'm Wolfgang Vashon. Religion, faith, and spirituality are areas that some of us who work with young people are reluctant to talk about. There are others who see that as their primary purpose in working with children and youth. As a teacher of child and youth care, I frequently meet students whose faith has informed their choice to enter the field. In one assignment I give, for example, I ask people to reflect upon and write about how their spirituality, or lack thereof, informs their practice. It's one of my favorite assignments to mark, their passion, commitment, reflection, and connection between faith and practice is both insightful and a delight to read. I've long been interested in this relationship. Thus, it was a pleasure for me to read Youth Work and Faith, Debates, Delights, and Dilemmas. Today, I'm speaking with one of the editors of this book, Dr. Naomi Stanton. Dr. Stanton is a researcher, educator, and community youth worker in the UK. She's currently a research fellow at Middlesex University in London. Much of her research has focused on Christian youth work, past and present. She's also worked directly with young people in both secular and faith-based contexts. Welcome, Naomi, and thank you for speaking with me today.
No problem at all. Thank you for your interest in the book and for wanting to talk to me and inviting me to talk to you today.
Pleasure. I'd like to start with your own research. Can you tell me what motivated you to research Christian youth work?
I suppose a lot of it was my own upbringing within the church, and it was more an interest than a professional experience thing for me, because my professional background as a youth worker has been in the secular sector, so primarily for local government, also in the what we call the voluntary sector for a while, which just means not government funded or private, not funded by private business or government, but charity sector. And my PhD was actually, I saw the project being advertised. My supervisor, who is a professor of religious history, had the project, had the money, and was looking for the student, and I was interested. So it was kind of almost a re-specialising, because it wasn't my professional background when I went into it.
And what was that research that you did for your PhD?
So I looked at the peak and decline of the Sunday school movement in England. So the peak, Sunday schools hit their peak in the early 20th century here, when 75% of children and young people were on Sunday school registers. And that was young people not necessarily from church backgrounds. In fact, the majority were from non-church-going families. And then in the 1960s, Sunday schools faced rapid decline. And what I've done, because there's a lot been said about secularisation, but what I did was focus a lot more on some of the internal factors and decisions made by churches and Sunday schools that may have impacted on that decline. And then I looked at the contemporary period in which Christian youth work has been emerging and growing in the UK, and how that kind of is a comparable thing to what the Sunday school movement was doing.
You've written in, as part of your research, that rather than young people rejecting the church, that the church has rejected young people. What do you mean by that?
So one of the interesting things that came out of my contemporary research as part of my PhD was young people's kind of narratives of exclusion or difficulty integrating with their churches. So quite often they were very much engaged in their youth work programs, but young people weren't making the transition into adult church, which obviously concerned the churches if they saw that as the primary goal of their youth work. The youth workers didn't always see it that way. So I had narratives from young people. For example, I'll use pseudonyms, but John was a young man from Africa. He'd grown up there till he was 11 in an orphanage, and it was a Catholic orphanage, and he was adopted by a former nun and brought to the UK and taken to a Catholic church there. And he kind of told me this powerful story about being the only black young person in this Catholic church, and the sense of exclusion and lack of interest in his life he felt. And he, you know, he said to me, they say it's a community, but it's not, and churches are meant to be communities. And I actually spoke to him through a Baptist youth group that he was engaged with, so he did have a positive experience in the youth work arm of another church, but he struggled with that kind of church connection that he was taken to with his adoptive family. And other examples were kind of young women talking about their struggles to kind of get engaged and participate and make suggestions. One young woman was on the youth executive for her denomination, a regional youth executive, and she tried to have a meeting in the church building, and they told her they were going to charge her for the roof.
And that's youth friendly.
Yeah. And another young woman talked about, you know, the, all these ideas she had for things the church could do to make it more friendly and open to young people, and being told either that things had to be discussed at meetings, people never getting back to her, or at one point she said she told her ideas were being left with God. But by contrast, these young people had very positive experiences within the kind of youth groups and youth clubs that were being developed and through which I accessed them. So there was this kind of contrast between this difficulty connecting with the kind of Sunday institutionalized church, the formal structures, but a very much a more dynamic relationship with their youth groups and their youth workers.
What do you think's happening that's so different there between the youth groups and the formal church structure?
Well, I think youth workers are trained in a particular set of skills, and they have a particular set of values that are about starting where young people are, listening to young people, encouraging their participation, getting them to have a say in how things are run. Whereas churches are very much set up as somewhere you go and you sit and you listen and you don't ask questions and you don't challenge the structure. And I think that's the kind of mismatch between the way that youth work or good youth work happens and the way that churches are kind of formally structured and set up.
In the book that you edited, Youth Work and Faith, chapter 3 talks specifically about Christian youth work, and the author makes the distinction between youth work and youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you could just explain that distinction, and would you, and the follow-up with that would be, do you see that as the attention within the church?
So there's a lot of discussion about this in texts about Christian youth work, and youth ministry is kind of seen as the kind of arm of youth work that's about bringing young people into the church and engaging them with the keeping them engaged with the church, quite often working with the young people of families that are already in the church, whereas youth work is seen as more of the kind of social aspect of youth work. So maybe the Friday night youth club that has young people from the local community who aren't necessarily engaged with the church. However, I have a slight problem with the distinction myself, because I spoke to a lot of youth workers who were doing both those types of work, and they wouldn't call themselves, they wouldn't say, well, I'm a youth minister on Wednesday, but I'm a youth worker on Friday. And actually they found tensions between the different aspects and roles of their work, but they didn't call themselves by something different. Most of them identified as youth workers, or talked about doing youth work rather than youth ministry. But the way that it came out in my own research was that there are kind of different domains that these youth workers work in. So there's the social domain, which is where they are responding to a community need, quite often to provide activities for young people, a safe space where they can come, where they can engage with activities or get support if needed. The spiritual domain, which was more about where they were able to work with young people to kind of explore spirituality and faith for themselves. And then what I kind of called, a little bit controversially, the institutional domain, which is the kind of Sunday structured service, which is more about bums on seats than it is about how deep the level of engagement or participation is for the young people in a lot of cases.
Presumably the church would be mostly interested in the institutional domain. Would that be correct?
That would be correct. And some would dispute me on that, because obviously they would say we're interested in young people's spiritual lives and not just them being at this church. But quite often it did seem like the youth workers felt they were judged more on the numbers of young people in church on a Sunday morning than they were on the quality of their work in any other way, or any other. They might have been engaging young people in creative ways at, you know, all week, but the ultimate success of their work was judged by bums on seats on a Sunday morning. And they often felt that the social aspect of their work, that social domain in which they might be engaging large numbers of young people from the community, was seen as having the least value. And even not counting, one youth worker told me that she was told it didn't count because those young people weren't in church on a Sunday.
I mean, the fascinating for me, because so much of the work that I do is that, you know, to use those same categories, social, spiritual, institutional domain, the social domain, you know, the life space of the young person, the day-to-day, you know, how they are experiencing the world and how I can support them navigate the world, that seems like my primary purpose in working with young people. And I would think that for many youth workers, regardless of their faith, they would also see that as quite important in their work.
Definitely, and that's why I think the youth workers I spoke to generally felt a tension between, you know, starting where the young people were at and the kind of demands being made on them from above. And I think what churches have done over the last few years, they kind of have followed the local government sector in the UK. So youth work started to become professionalised since the early 60s, when there was a kind of government scheme to start employing and training youth workers to deal with what was seen as the problems of youth at the time. But youth workers developed as a distinct profession with distinct values, which are around starting where young people are at, allowing them to define and lead on what they need and how things work for them, engaging in discussion and critical reflection together. And so when churches kind of started to follow this lead, probably it was in the 80s, 90s, really, churches, more the 90s, churches started to say, oh, we need youth workers. So if they advertise for a youth worker, and particularly if they advertise for a youth worker with what we have here is the JNC professional qualification, so it's a degrees programs that have been actually validated by our National Youth Agency as to containing the right things and giving the right trainings for someone to be a professional youth worker. So churches are getting a youth worker who's trained in a particular set of skills, but they don't necessarily understand what they were when they advertised for a youth worker. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And I naturally that church or an institution would want to hire qualified, skilled people, and that tension, I would argue, you know, we certainly see it here around whose agenda is the worker trying to fulfill, you know, be it government, be it agency, be it institution, be it, you know, a healthcare provider, and that's certainly not unique, I would say, to faith-based institutions. The book, and I don't want to frame that this book is about Christian youth work, because it's absolutely not, and that is only a tiny fraction of the book. It really explores faith in a very, very large context, and spirituality as well as other religions. Could you talk about how faith-based youth work is experienced in other religions other than Christianity?
Yeah. So within the book, there's a quite a comprehensive kind of discussion of Jewish youth work by Shelley Marsh, and I think it's quite an interesting chapter, because she really charts how kind of Jewish youth work has developed, and Jewish youth work has quite a long history in the UK. I mean, it's been going since really the late 19th century, we've had Jewish youth work, and it was kind of developed as a way of actually supporting young people from Jewish communities as there were kind of waves of immigration into London from people who were arriving who were Jewish. And so a lot of that was around socialisation for the young people and also kind of helping them to settle in. But it was very much for Jewish young people. However, out of that, things like Lily Montague, who set up the National Association of Girls Clubs, which is still in existence but now is UK Youth, you know, that's really informed the development of work with girls and young women more widely in the UK and has had a real influence. But Jewish youth work itself has remained very much for Jewish young people. And you see the same in the other faiths. So a lot of Christian youth work is for Christian young people, or they might have a youth club that lots of other young people come to. And I think there is a bit more of the outreach type work in the Christian sector. But Jewish youth work is very much for Jewish young people. And Muslim youth work is often the same. It's for young people from Muslim backgrounds. And I think that's about their kind of experiences as minority groups in the UK and the very particular support needs that sometimes brings up about needing to have spaces, safe spaces for themselves as young people from minority groups who might be facing prejudice and discrimination in their wider lives. But I think segregation can also be a problem, and we need more kind of integration between different faith groups. And one of the interesting things about the Christian youth work in my research was that although there was quite often youth clubs that had lots of young people not from the church, there wasn't any real religious diversity in who was attending those youth clubs. It was young people from the church and young people who were kind of from non-religious families in the community. And some of the communities these churches were in had quite high numbers of Muslim young people, for example, living in the area. So there's a lot of segregation between the youth work being done by different faith traditions. Within Muslim youth work, there is a kind of mirroring of the youth ministry youth work kind of discussion. So Sadiq Hamid, he's not in the book, but he's written elsewhere. He distinguishes between Islamic youth work and Muslim youth work, with Muslim youth work being more the stuff around the kind of social domain and the social purpose, and Islamic youth work being more about training in the Islamic faith. So there's quite a lot of similarities and common ground that the different traditions maybe don't know about because they don't engage with each other. And then there's also small pockets of youth work that spring up in other faiths. For example, Sikh young people kind of started to develop a lot of their own stuff outside of the Gurdwaras, and Jasit Singh's research, he's from Leeds University, is really important because he's looked at how Sikh young people needed that kind of more social support and also space to look at their faith, but away from the kind of formalized structure of the kind of institutionalized form of the religion. And they developed their own Sikh camps, and then within universities they set up their own Sikh societies and things to engage in a more critically reflective, participative way with their faith.
I found the chapter on Jewish, well, all the chapters are just... I kept spinning off in all directions reading all those chapters, but the one in Jewish youth work and in Muslim youth work as well, the Jewish youth work chapter really, you know, went to some fundamental questions about what is youth work and can we define this as youth work or not, and then the chapter on Muslim youth work I think really explored a lot of, you know, the tensions, and I would say the tensions within the young people, I mean the chapters for the tensions within the young people more than the tensions within the youth workers, but they're, you know, being Muslim and being a British citizen and how those two interrelate and the lack of safe spaces for many of those young people. Do you have a sense of why there is so little interfaith work happening?
Well, there's certainly been initiatives, and there are initiatives about around interfaith youth work. But the interesting thing is they quite often don't get that much engagement from people. So I think there's a resistance from people to sometimes to engage with that. And I don't want to say that as a blanket thing, because there are some good interfaith projects. And Phil Henry talks in the book about his research into interfaith youth work and how that worked. But there is, on the whole, a reluctance because of it. You know, I think sometimes it's a fear and sometimes it's a sense of protection. But then at the same time, you know, Shelley Marsh in the chapter on Jewish youth work, she talks about the transformative learning that takes place for these young people through the model of Jewish youth work, where they visit Israel and other kind of Jewish landmarks. And personally, I can't help thinking, well, would the learning be more transformative if they were able to do this with other people, mm-hmm. and if they were able to visit other places as well, and you know, say, you know, imagine a kind of Jewish and a Christian group going somewhere together and seeing each other's places as well. As I think the learning would be more transformative within the Muslim the chapter on young Muslims is less about youth work per se and more about Sugra Ahmed's research with young Muslims, and then she makes some recommendations for youth work with Muslim young people. But I think the interesting thing in there, she does talk about the Muslim Youth Helpline, and that was something that was developed because Muslim young people needed a space to discuss some of the really difficult issues that they weren't necessarily able to discuss with the imam in the mosque. So relationships and issues around their faith and issues around sex and sexuality and things that they couldn't necessarily walk up to the imam in the mosque and say, I've got this problem, can I talk to you about it? So I think within all the traditions, there's this tendency to work just with those young people, but there's also this need for space outside of the formal structures of the religion for young people to have a process of dialogue and discussion and to engage more critically with their faith, but also to get support around social issues. And the key issue that's often missed there is the integration one.
The notion of dialogue returns throughout the book, and in fact you identify it as one of the you and your other editors in the introduction identify it as one of the key themes in the book, and the need for spaces around dialogue. Chapter 7 talks, for example, about dialogue around sex and sexuality for youth workers who are not explicitly working in a faith-based context. And I wonder about how people, you know, who do youth work, who are not part of that faith, how they can work, you know, secular to faith-based. You know, how can people not from a particular religious background work with young people who have strong religious convictions? Any thoughts or insights on that?
Yeah, and I would say probably in the UK, it's Muslim young people who maybe have been specifically targeted by youth workers who are not, well, the youth workers from their particular religious background might be employed, but by organisations like local government that are not necessarily religious organisations. It's Muslim young people that have tended to be targeted in that way. You don't have Jewish youth work being done as a kind of intervention in the same way. And the way that's done is an organisation will quite often try and employ somebody from that background as the youth worker, so that they've got that shared experience. But it is an interesting one, and I think a lot of it is to do with the relationships between the different people. So we had a conference a few weeks ago on youth work and faith with practitioners where we were talking about the book. And so a Christian youth worker there, who was one of our keynotes, was talking about how he had to build up relationships with the people in the mosque in order to work with their young people. So he was right next to, his centre is right next to a very busy mosque in Bradford, which has quite a high Muslim population in the northwest of England. and he was finding a lot of Muslim young men were coming into his sessions, but he ended up in trouble because they were skipping their language classes or some of their classes in the mosque to come into his session. But by building up a kind of conversation and a relationship with the mosque, he was then able to know at what point they're supposed to not really be in his center because they're supposed to be somewhere else, and have those conversations with the young people and with the elders in the mosque.
It reminds me a little bit of, there's an old Saul Alinsky, you know, community organizer from the 60s. You know, if you want to work in the Jewish community, don't, you know, go there eating a ham sandwich, right? Understanding the context in which you're going to work and building that relationship takes a long period of time.
Yeah, and we talk about in youth work all the time, we talk about starting where the young people are at, but that's the same for building relationships with other community stakeholders. And, you know, we can't go along there and say, this is what we're going to do with your young people. We go along and we find out what their needs and concerns are for their young people and start from that as a starting point. And I don't know if you know a lot about the context of what's been happening to youth work in the UK, but the local government sector, which was built up, you know, over decades, has been completely decimated with very little of it left at all because of funding that's been taken away from local government. And the only kind of policy around young people and youth work that has come out since 2010 has kind of suggested that youth work should be something that's organised by communities themselves, and that they should be providing the youth work within their communities. So there's a lot of potential there for religious groups who are doing youth work to kind of take up the, you know, buy into what David Cameron called his big society agenda and say, actually, we are the big society, we're doing this work. But there needs to be more integration and working together. And one of my challenges, I was asked to speak at a Christian Youth Work conference in June, and my big challenge to them was, look, there's 800 people here at this conference. I was at a National Youth Work conference a couple of months earlier, secular, that had 40 people. You know, what are you doing to support your colleagues? You know, if you care about youth work and if you care about support being pulled out that young people have, what are you doing? Have you called up your local youth workers? Because they may be the only, you know, they may have gone from a team of 40 youth workers to one. Have you called them up? Have you had a cup of coffee? Have you said, let's talk about how we can work together? But I have also spoken to youth workers who are working together, both kind of where perhaps they've received government funding or funding from other organisations to deliver the youth work in a local area through, say, a church or similar, or where there's equal partnerships between people working for local government and working for churches, where they've kind of managed to develop work together. So it can happen, it's just not happening on a very large scale at the moment.
Yeah, the situation in the UK is, certainly there's many other parallels around the world, but it seems particularly harsh in the UK over the since the introduction of this notion of the big society, and really what appears to be a downloading of that onto you know, faith-based or community groups without this infrastructure support.
But the Christian youth work sector has been the largest sector of the youth work field since before austerity, since the early 2000s, because of churches, you know, en masse starting to employ a youth worker. Mm-hmm. So actually, full-time Christian youth workers have outnumbered full-time local government workers since before this current government and before austerity. And they are often the only community-based youth workers, and they are often running the Friday Night Youth Club that has 60 young people from the community coming along to. But it's about how are you making sure that you know what other people are doing in your community? And when I worked for the local government, there was a lot of kind of suspicion between us and people working for churches, and they didn't necessarily want to tell us what they were doing. And quite often what we got was secondhand information from young people who love to play you off against each other.
that distrust or, perhaps inappropriately to call it a lack of faith between, you know, different sectors is something that is a current that I definitely feel here in Canada. And one of the other things what it often results in is people who come into child and youth care, youth work, from a very strong faith orientation, don't discuss it. I was talking to a young person who works residential. He works for a Christian, the Catholic Children's Aid Society here in Canada, in Toronto. And he doesn't discuss his religion with the young people that he works with, that he lives with. And we had some conversations about it, and you know, he sees it very much as apart from him, even though it clearly informs his work, his values, his morals, his position, and it clearly informs his work. But he doesn't see it as something that he should discuss, can discuss, will discuss. Have you come across that in the UK, and do you have any thoughts or insights into that?
Yeah, and I think John Jolly talks about this a little bit in his chapter on Christian mm-hmm. youth work, that there is some Christian youth work that is primarily and solely social, in the social domain, that isn't linked to developing spirituality or getting young people into church, and that there is some Christian, we would call it faith motivated, would be a term that I'd borrow from Nigel Pimlott, actually, who's done a lot of work around youth work, faith-based youth work and civil society. And we would call it faith motivated work. And it is work where quite often, quite deliberately, the Christian agenda is taken out of it, because it is about starting where the young people are at. And it is about their identified needs or needs that are there within the community. And because of suspicion and the possibility for creating suspicion, you don't want to kind of let that be compromised by the youth workers using it as an opportunity to proselytize. So it's quite actively not about proselytizing, because it is about starting, it's about working with the community need. But we have a bit of a division in the Christian sector over here. So, for example, Nigel Pimlott, who I mentioned before, and he's got a chapter in the book, he was speaking at a conference that I was at this year, and he was kind of talking about the organization that he was working for at the time, which is called Frontier Youth Trust, and how they do get suspicion from wider society. Oh, you're a Christian organization, you're going to just evangelize to the young people. And at the same time, he has this thing from the wider Christian sector where the organization isn't Christian enough. And there is that, there's a kind of divide between those who think that, and that would probably be where you might call the youth ministry, youth work dividing, because there are those who will say, youth ministry isn't successful if there is no ministry, I guess. But others who would say youth work is not about us deciding what people need, it's about starting with the needs that they want to work with and that they present to us. So there is debate and kind of tension around that, even just within the Christian sector.
I think how you summarized it there around, you know, what are the needs of the young people we work with? What do they want to talk about? You know, do they want to talk about faith and spirituality? Then how do we as youth workers do that? If they don't, then how do we support that as well? If they want to talk about sex, if they want to talk about racism, whatever it might be, accepting them where they're at, I think. You know.
And I volunteered a few years ago for a church who wanted to set up a youth club for the kind of young people in the community who weren't the church young people. But there was such a kind of tension between the people running those of us running the youth club, who were all volunteers, who wanted to run something for the young people in the community. And the church, people within the church who were like, well, where's the Christian input? And we were almost forced to have this kind of 10-minute God slot at the end of the session, which never went well because they'd all had sweets from the tuck shop and they didn't want to sat down and forced to listen to something. And we didn't really kind of, you know, believe in the kind of purpose and the usefulness of that particular part, but it was almost forced. And I, in the end, I didn't feel able to carry on with that club because I felt that the tension was there. Because for me, I was passionate about doing something for people in the community, in a community that doesn't have a lot of youth work. I wasn't interested in meeting an agenda imposed by the church. But I've worked for the local authority, and you get exactly the same thing there. There's an agenda put on you, whether it's about citizenship, whether it's about working with young people. There's a term NEET. Do you have that? Not in education, employment, and training.
We don't use the term here that much, but a bit in the States, but not here in Canada.
Yeah, and there's a resistance to kind of saying we want to work with NEETs because it's kind of you're defining your youth work so narrowly, and you're kind of labelling young people according to their deficits rather than working with them around what's good and their potential. And so my argument is that a good youth worker is able to kind of manage the agenda of their organisation and kind of put it back at them when they need to, and work with the young people, starting with the young people's needs first and foremost, as the young people see them, not as they are imposed by the agenda of the funder or the organisation. But obviously it creates tensions, and you know, we're seeing local government youth work slashed, which is partly because we're not, you know, ticking the right boxes and agreeing to kind of count and measure youth work in the way that it's being narrowly defined by policy. And the same with churches. Some churches are saying that Christian youth work has not been successful because they're trying to measure it in a very narrow way that they've designed and imposed. Numbers of people, young people in church on a Sunday with no recognition of whether Sunday morning is a good time for young people to go to church. It's still fitting with the milking times of the dairy farmers, and you know, nobody's questioned Sunday morning as to whether that's the appropriate time.
Yes. Yeah, I you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, oh, it's another course we need to work into our youth work programs, how to navigate the institutional desires, be they government, big society, churches, whomever they be. How as a youth worker do you navigate the competing agendas? And be responsive.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Even in our training programs, that we have secular training programs and we have kind of faith-based training programs. So we've got some very well-established Christian youth work training programs in the UK that are validated with the JNC qualification, so they're professionally qualifying programs, but they are for Christian youth workers. And then the courses that I've taught on over the last few years have been, you know, the kind of secular courses within universities. Even at the YMCA George Williams College, where I used to work, which has a Christian foundation, it was very much a secular course. And there's almost, you know, a resistance to kind of bring in a module or start to develop those secular courses to recognise the diversity of the youth work field. And a lot of youth work programmes in universities have closed down over the last few years in the UK. And I think a large part of that is, you know, you've got to mirror the kind of population that's going to come along to your programmes. And I've always worked, all the training programs I've worked on have had some faith-based youth workers on them, but they haven't actually reflected that in the teaching and the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly, the programs that I teach in, there's no explicit faith-based, and I'm, you know, none of the child and youth care programs, certainly in Canada that I'm aware of, they might be out there, but have, you know, explicit faith-based or religious aspects.
It sounds like you're doing something there with your assignment around spirituality. That sounds exciting.
It is. It's fascinating. I really quite enjoy it. And there's a huge, huge amount of students who come into this work in the programs that I teach in. I teach in three different programs, but there's huge amounts of students who come into the programs with an explicit faith-based agenda, but I would say informed by or driven by their faith. And I struggle to find ways to create opportunities for their faith to be present in the classroom. And it's something that I haven't quite found, and we haven't quite found as an institution, but one that we're certainly exploring. And I think this book, I highly recommend it, and it really raises all sorts of wonderful questions. Obviously, it's set in the UK, but much of it is easily applicable in other contexts. Is there anything that we missed that you want to touch on before we end our conversation, Abby?
I just think, you know, the book is supposed to be a kind of starting point for trying to open up some of that dialogue. We talk about dialogue in youth work, but this is, you know, trying to say we're not having the right dialogue between different groups of youth workers and different traditions of youth work. And actually, there is much common ground. And we've done some events through Youth and Policy, which is a journal that I edit for, that the other editors of the book are also involved with. We've done a couple of conferences and events now around youth work and faith, where we've brought different people together, and we had a really fascinating one in Bradford a few weeks ago. And you know, the different youth workers there, some of them Muslim, some of them Christian, some of them not religious at all, you know, a really diverse group, and we were able to have some good conversations about the shared values and the common ground, and you know, the struggles and the delights of practice that actually are shared across different groups of youth work. And that, you know, the day finished with a real kind of atmosphere of we need to actually get together more and talk about this more and build kind of more opportunities for shared dialogue between us.
Well, thank you very, very much for your research regarding the church and youth work, for your editing this book and youth work policy, and for having this conversation with us. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation, and I hope listeners also gain something from it.
Yeah, and thank you. It's been great speaking with you, and I hope that it is useful to your students and youth workers.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now, Naomi.
Bye.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast.
Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher.
Visit us online at cycpodcast.org.